In our studio is Spencer Bird. I want you to meet this guy and hear this story. We did a story like this a few days ago, and now here's another one. And there's going to be a bunch of them because there's a class action suit against the city. Spencer, welcome to the show. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you for having me.
You are from Harvey, Illinois, right?
Yes, I am.
You're a mechanic by trade and carpenter?
Yes, I am.
So I heard about your story through Diana Simpson, who is an attorney with the Institute for Justice. There's a bunch of Chicagoans who've had their cars impounded, and they can't seem to get them back. In fact, some of their cars might not even be cars anymore. The city has a policy of taking your vehicle when you do something wrong and not giving it back until you do whatever they say you've got to do to get it back. And it seems like sometimes these cars should not have been taken to begin with. In the case of Veronica, a woman that we talked about last week, she was her car wasn't working. She took it to an auto shop, and somebody at the auto shop took her car out for a ride. That car got pulled over, and the person that was driving the car didn't have a valid license and got arrested. They impounded her car, and she has not seen that car since. She said, wait, what did I do wrong? I wasn't driving the car. I took it to the body shop, which kept saying, we're waiting for parts, we're waiting for parts. Her car might not even be a car anymore. Your story is somewhat similar. You were working as an auto mechanic. It was sounds like a side hustle for you, right?
Yes.
And so if somebody had problems, you'd fix their car. If you needed to go where the car broke down, you'd go and fix it there. If you couldn't, then you'd give them a ride back to wherever they needed and fix the car later, right?
Yes.
You got a car like that a few years ago.
Yes.
A call like that a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in this case?
Well, like I said, I had received a call that someone was stranded, and I was going to their location. And when I got there, the car was unfixable at that point in time. And the individual asked me, well, could you take me home? And I said, no problem. And then we were on the way to take him home. I had made a left turn, and police had got behind me and stated my signal light was out, and it truly wasn't. And then after that, they told me to step out the car.
Right, so the cop says you had a light out or you didn't use your signal.
Right.
Let's not even get into the debate over that.
Right.
You get pulled over.
Yes.
Now what happens?
They asked us to step out the car. They searched me. They didn't find anything on me. Then my passenger, unknowingly, that to myself, had something, some narcotics on them.
You have weed? Do you know what it was?
I'll have to check my paperwork, but I'm not for sure.
I think if it was weed, you'd say it was weed. So maybe it was something stronger than marijuana?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so he is the passenger in your car?
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the last time I got pulled over. I don't know that I was searched or asked to step out of the vehicle. Maybe I was. Maybe no. I've never been searched. Were you patted down on the side of the road?
Yes, and they had already had my driver's license and my insurance and everything because I had passed it through the window to them at that point in time.
So then they asked the passenger to step out, and they pat him down as well?
Right. They asked me first, and then they proceeded to ask him to step out.
All of this for maybe you didn't use your left-hand turn signal. So now they're patting him down, and they found the marijuana on him or the drugs, whatever they were on him?
Yes.
Okay, now what happens?
And then after that, they proceeded to arrest us, took us to the police station, and let me sit there for approximately like an hour and a half, and then released me. And then I proceeded to ask, "Hey, may I have my car?" And they were like, "No, we're not giving you a car. We're going to keep it and take it." I'm like, "For what? I haven't done anything."
And they said it was an accessory to a crime or
they
something?
They didn't say anything, just
you're
not getting your car back. And that's when the saga began.
How long ago was that?
Approximately 3 years ago, June 2016.
There's got to be something I'm not asking you, man.
Well, I'm giving you all the answers.
I can't believe. What kind of car was it?
It was a 96 Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham. A very clean car.
What was in the car?
Like you say, it had my tools in the trunk of it. Approximately $4,500 worth of tools because it was carpentry tools as well as mechanic tools in there.
Did they let you have those back?
No, I haven't. They have that as well.
Have you laid your eyes on this car since they took it?
No, I haven't.
Do you
but
think
I have,
it's still a car?
I believe so. Like I said, I have went over there and tried to retrieve my tools, but I have been unsuccessful at that time.
So then you heard from this Diana Simpson lady?
Yes.
How'd you hear from her?
Approximately because first it started off as Reasons magazine. They did an article on me first, And I appreciate that from CJ. And then it grew from there. And I did a radio interview, and then Institute for Justice contacted me, and here we are today.
Okay, so that Institute of Justice, Diana Simpson's an attorney I've talked to before, and she joins us now on WGN. Hi, Diana. It's John. You're back on the air. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You two know each other, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes, sir.
Diana, I hate these kind of interviews where I think, and after I'm going to go home and go, oh, I should have asked Spencer about this, and then I would have had the reason why the cops took his car. What am I not asking? What am I missing here, Diana?
You know, so what you're missing here is that the city of Chicago's ordinances give the city police and give the city itself the authority to do all of this. And it's horribly unjust and wildly unconstitutional, which is why we're suing about it.
Well, if Spencer had drugs, or if Spencer had broken a law, maybe, you know, having a passenger with drugs is breaking the law, but it sure seems to me like Spencer's pretty innocent of any ill intent or wrongdoing here. But I could see them taking cars from people who have committed crimes. Spencer hadn't committed a crime, as far as I can tell.
Exactly. And the way the city's ordinances are written, they allow the city to impound cars for about 24 different offenses. And the only defenses that are available for car owners are 3 very narrow defenses. And innocence is rarely a defense. And so, you know, for someone like Spencer, he gets up there and he explains what's happened. And they say, well, you know, too bad. And so they impound his car and they demand the payment of thousands of dollars in penalties and fees for something that he didn't do.
Are they doing that to you, Spencer?
Oh, yes. It's approximately, I think it's about $18,000 now for the vehicle.
Because there's a monthly charge or something like that?
Daily. Daily charge.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing. This is just too stupid. It's crazy.
It is, which is why we're suing about it.
So if you want your car back, for which you should not have lost your car, just give us $18,000?
Yes.
Well, why don't you give him $18,000, Spencer?
Well, if I had $18,000, I wouldn't give it to him anyway, because the fact of it is I shouldn't have to pay anything because it's an unjust charge. I shouldn't have been charged. I was exonerated of all charges of everything.
And that's an important point, John, that Spencer came through and the city had tried to forfeit his car, and a judge said, no, you can't do that. Spencer is innocent. And so he has a circuit county judge, Cook County Circuit Court judge saying that the car needs to be returned to him, and yet the city won't do it unless he pays thousands of dollars for something he didn't do.
Well, do you know where the car is?
Yes, it's on Doty Road.
So if you and I walked over there right now, just knocked on the door and said, hey, I've got this thing from a judge that said I didn't commit any crime, what would happen?
They would send me back to 400 Superior and say, go over there and talk to them.
What's 400 Superior?
That's where they have the city of Chicago has its own court system. Besides, this is where they...
Have you done this, what we're describing?
Yes, I've been there many of times trying to find out the reasons why I haven't got my car or able to get the release.
Do they have any sympathy? Like, do the cops or whoever we're talking about here, are they frustrated that they don't have the authority to help you out? Do they feel you a little bit?
Yes, it's some police officers that said it was an unjust thing. Not saying, you know, they can't do anything because their hands are tied. And there's just this bad situation. Like you say, my thing, good deed gone wrong.
Right. Your good deed being you went to help this guy. You couldn't. You said, I'll give you a ride. Mm-hmm. And now you're out your car and the city wants $18,000.
Yes.
That number is absurd to me. That's absurd. Mm-hmm. At some point, if nothing else, Diana, they should cap it. I mean, I don't know. Is the car worth $18,000? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But at some point, it's ridiculous to ask people that much money for their car, regardless of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. And the United States Constitution has the excessive fines clause, which prohibits disproportionate punishment. And the Illinois Constitution has a similar provision. And that's one of the things we're invoking in our lawsuit, because this kind of penalty is just ridiculous, particularly when it's imposed on an innocent owner like Spencer.
Spencer, did you have a valid license plate? Was the tags up to date?
Yes.
I'm just trying to think of something that maybe we're missing here.
Only thing we're missing is the car, because they won't give it back.
Diana, some people's cars are crushed by now, right? I mean, doesn't the city, they don't want these cars. They're taking up space.
You know, it depends on who you talk to, but the city has a bunch of different things that it can do with the cars when it decides that it wants to dispose of them. And so sometimes it will crush them and sell it for parts. Sometimes they will sell the cars at auction, and sometimes they'll keep the cars for police use. And they don't, we don't really know what they've done with different cars. And as far as we've been able to tell, Spencer's car is still there. But, you know, it really just, it depends, I suppose.
Okay, this texter says, John, I feel for this guy. This sucks. 708 says, his car is long gone. This person doesn't think there's much hope, but maybe yours is still there. 815 says, make the passenger pay everything. Is that an avenue for either of you?
I don't know where.
You don't know that guy?
No.
Do you and Diana think that's viable?
No, and, you know, one of the reasons we brought this class action was to stop the city of Chicago from doing this because, you know, unfortunately what's happened to Spencer and, as you described, what happened to Veronica, their stories aren't unique. And so in 2017 alone, over 22,000 cars were impounded under this program by the city, and the city imposed over $28 million in fines and fees. And that kind of really pervasive problem is one that we're trying to stop so that we can help people like Veronica and we can help people like Spencer, but then every other Chicago resident and visitor who are facing this really unjust system.
But some of those cars are towed and kept for good reason. What we're talking about here are the exceptions to the rule.
Yes.
Do you know people this has happened to?
Not at this time. But like you say, if I'm a firm believer in, like I say, if you do something illegal, you should pay the cost. But I didn't do anything illegal to my knowledge. And it's how they do certain individuals and turn this into a profitable situation for the city.
Yeah, it sounds like they're milking you here. Okay, so now, Diana, I guess the question is, what's your recourse against the city? So what are you asking for? This is a class action suit for people like Veronica, who we talked about last week, and Spencer. We got a couple minutes left, and we're visiting with Spencer Bird. Spencer is a guy from Harvey, Illinois, who's a mechanic by trade and a carpenter. He gave somebody a ride not that long ago, well, 3 years ago. And when the cops pulled him over, it turned out that the guy he was giving a ride to, somebody whose car he was going to fix, had drugs on him. They arrest both of you. You're released. You're not convicted. You were arrested, though, right?
Yes.
What was the charge?
They didn't give me a charge.
So you're arrested. You weren't charged, but you were brought down to the police station.
Yes.
The other guy, he's got his own stuff to deal with. You don't know who this guy is.
No.
They confiscate your car, and for 3 years they've had it. Every day you're getting charged a storage fee. It's up to $18,000.
Right. And not counting the bills, I'm falling behind at work because I'm at home because I'm not able to work. Because they have my tools.
You said $4,500 worth of tools that you kept in the trunk of your car.
Right.
To say nothing of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Simpson is on a phone line. She's with the Institute of Justice. It's a national organization. There's a branch in Chicago. And so this is a class action suit, right, Diana?
Yes.
And so what are you're suing the city. Where is this and what are you asking?
So we are in Illinois State Court, and we are asking for a couple of different things. We're asking for the judge to enter an order saying that what the city is doing through its impound system is unconstitutional. And so the main things that we're targeting in this lawsuit are the lack of a true innocent owner defense that would have helped someone like Spencer. We're also targeting the bureaucratic maze that people have to deal with in order to get their cars back. They have to make their way downtown several different times, and the notice procedures are problematic. And finally, the city holds on to people's cars until they are able to pay all of the money that the city says that they owe. And the only reason the city is keeping these cars for that long is to demand payment. The city has other successful measures to keep and get money back from people when they owe the city, such as putting a hold on their tax income checks and those kinds of things. And the city's doing that, but they're also keeping the cars, and they don't have a constitutional reason to keep the cars like that.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, so we're asking the city, we're asking the court to basically say that all of this is unconstitutional, and we're also asking the court to issue restitution that would give people their cars back to the extent that the cars are still in existence, and if not, then to give them the value of the car the day that it was seized, because we really want people to be back at the place they were before they experienced all of this harm from the city.
I'd give them the value of the car, and then I'd give them some. I mean, I think he could argue lost income for 3 years because he doesn't have his tools in his vehicle. If the car was worth $10,000 when they took it, I think he'd be in line for $20,000 today. I don't think that's being too sympathetic, Diana. Get me on the jury. I'll help you out. Kevin, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Well, how can the city of Chicago supersede everybody and they take... There's got to be a reason why. Why are the reasons that they can hold it? They are more powerful than the state of Illinois, more powerful than any other jurisdiction, judicial system, and they can do that. How can they do that? Explain that.
Yeah, Kevin is not the only person. We have this last time Veronica's story was on, the woman who took her car to the shop and the same sort of thing happened. And we're all like, this is terrible. It's so stupid. There's got to be something else to this. The city can't do this. Diana, you've got to, the both of you have to make as persuasive a case as possible that there's something else going on here that we don't know about.
You know, I don't know that there is. You know, the city's ordinances that have been written in by the city council and signed by the mayor and all of that give the city the ability to do this. And so what they're doing is under the color of law, but it's unconstitutional. And so, you know, people have sued over it over the years, and they've lost. And so we are suing this time, and we are confident that we're going to be able to convince the court that this is unconstitutional, because it is just so outrageous what the city is doing to its residents and visitors, and it needs to stop.
So this gentleman, Spencer Bird, is sitting here. Spencer, I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
There's a GoFundMe page to help you. The fundraiser is called Good Deed Gone Wrong, which is exactly what you were, you know, or Good Job Gone Wrong. I mean, this is your business. You go out, you help the guy on the side of the road. Hey, we can't fix your car. We'll take it into the shop. I'll give you a lift to where you got to go. I've had tow trucks do that for me before. Now you get pulled over, drugs on the other guy, so they seize your car, and 3 years later, you still don't have your car. Good Deed Gone Wrong. If you go to GoFundMe, type that in. That's the search. His fundraiser is Good Deed Gone Wrong. If you want to help Spencer out in the meantime, that's easy enough to do. Well, Spencer Bird, good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And Diana, we'll be in touch. If you got other stories like this, I'm all ears.
All right. Thank you very much.
And by the way, Diana, your organization is the Institute for Justice. And what's your website again?
It's ij.org, and you can go on there and get a hold of us if you've had your car impounded. We've heard from hundreds, literally hundreds of people who've had their cars impounded, have reached out since we filed this lawsuit, and we'd like to talk with as many people who've had this happen to them.
ij.org. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you, Diana. And Spencer,
thank
good
you.
Luck to you, too. Thanks for coming in.